This episode is sponsored by Realtor.com, who wants you to take advantage of your free profile on Realtor.com by claiming and completing your free profile, adding a photo, and all of the information that puts you head and shoulders above the competition. You're on your way to receiving free leads, helping search engines find you, and staying top of mind with past clients. To learn more about claiming your free profile, go to realtor.com/profile.
Welcome to the Real View Podcast, where Ohio realtors connect you to innovators and influencers, keeping you with the real view of real estate. Whether you're a broker, agent, first-time homebuyer, industry leader, or just happen to stumble upon our podcast today, you can expect to hear tips, tools, tricks, interesting information, and so much more from the experts in Ohio's real estate game. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Real View Podcast. I am your host, Allison Wiley. Joining me today, our special guest is Abby Cameron. She is an intuitive life coach, a gratitude warrior, and a field guide for a rich, abundant, and raw life. And what all that means is we are going to get into that in a minute, but I want to share a little bit more about Abby and what she does. Much of her coaching practice started long before she put a name to it, while working with young adults and coworkers in all of her various positions. She found a love for helping others reach their full potential. Those experiences ultimately led her to pursue work as a healer. She has also spent an inordinate amount of time searching for her own raw life and her own personal experiences strengthen her work that she does as a coach. She currently lives in the Dallas area, loves spending time with her son and her pets. Abby, welcome onto the show.
Hi, Allison. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we're so happy to have you. And I'm thrilled to have you on and getting a little piece into your brain and your world, into what you do and your perspective on how we can all do better as people, as business people. But before we get started in today's topic, I want to hear a little bit more about you, your career journey, and what's led you to where you are today.
Oh, okay. How much time do you have? No. It's, you know, kind of roundabout story, but essentially it comes down to I have a degree in psychology because I've just always had this drive to help people be better versions of themselves. And so the plan was to go on and become a licensed therapist, but being empathetic, which basically means I feel people's feelings very strongly. And at that time in my early 20s, I thought those were my own feelings. And it just was incredibly heavy, the work that I was doing. And I wasn't able to separate it. So I thought, you know, maybe this isn't for me. And I stepped away from it and went on to work for nonprofit organizations. I did professional development for different organizations. And I was a teacher as well. But everybody seemed to keep coming back to me for advice to help them through challenges. You know, when life got really difficult, I seemed to be that stable person that could remain calm and help them figure it out. And so a friend said to me one day, you know, you should be a life coach. And you know, this is over a decade ago. And I thought, what the heck is a life coach? I had no idea what it was.
Yeah.
So I had to go do a little deep dive into the internet and find out what a life coach was. And I thought, this is exactly what I want to do, which is basically take you where you are now, make you the best possible version of yourself, help you get out of your own way so that you can live your best life possible.
Yeah, I love that. That's really awesome. I love to hear people's career trajectories and what led them to where they are today. I just think it helps get a good sense of who the person is and, you know, how they got onto this podcast today, which is how I found you. You know, I always like bringing guests and inviting guests onto the show who have this coaching background and who can kind of really just give a 30-minute break in the chaos of the world and things that are going on, you know, today, that we can focus on ourselves and learn how to, as you mentioned, you know, be the best version of ourselves, learn some tips and tricks to help do that. So that's really kind of the goal of today's show and why, Abby, you're joining me. So thank you again. And I'm really, really happy. So I want to hear kind of about your approach to life coaching. And I did, you know, some researching and stuff before we started the call today, but I would love to kind of hear from you, your approach to life coaching. And I know you mentioned some of your experience and how that's kind of impacted you, but I would love to hear your approach and how you kind of, your perspective on the work that you do.
Sure. So my approach is pretty unique as compared to other coaches. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, as you heard, I call myself an intuitive life coach. And that's because I receive a lot of guided messages, right, that really tune into my intuition that help me guide the session. So I essentially ask what it is that my client needs, and I receive information that helps guide the way that the session goes. And it always seems to be incredibly transformative. So I've learned to trust and lean in that a little bit more because I've noticed that it's been highly effective. But I consider myself to be a developmental coach versus a performative coach. So the difference is a performative coach will basically take a goal that you want. So let's say, you know, you want a particular job, right? So you'd come to your coach and you say, I want this job. And a performative coach then would help you break down that goal into manageable steps and get you to that particular outcome. A developmental coach, which is what I do, is we don't necessarily focus on goals. They're there. And they will manifest eventually. But what I do is I help you figure out why you're not achieving that goal in the first place. What are your limiting beliefs? What are your thought patterns? What are your values? The things that are getting in your way that keep you from performing at your best in the first place. Because the chances are if you haven't reached the goal yet, there is something in your way. You are stuck. And so that's what I do is I really dive into what that is. And then once we get that stuff out of the way, what happens kind of in a really fun way is what you wanted in the first place just happens because you were aligned with the best version of yourself. So we spend a lot of time really kind of looking at what you think, how you behave, how you show up in your life, because ultimately that informs me as to what is keeping you from getting what you want in the first place.
I love that. That sounds like such a fun job and like a rewarding job too. I mean, I can see why you love what you do because it sounds like that would be awesome to help people do that, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
Oh my gosh. You know, the gratitude that I have when, I mean, the client's doing the work, right? I'm just their guide and helping them see what's in their way. And then they do the work to get out of the way. But when they shine, oh my gosh, yes, that's the best reward ever. I mean, I can't really call this a job.
I love it. Hey, that's the dream, right? To do something that you don't view as a job. I think that's, you know, well, how everyone would love to live their life. So I think, no, that's really cool and really incredible. And I want to talk about kind of, in addition to your approach to life coaching and how kind of you might do things different, is this idea of living life raw. And I would love to dive into that. Tell us a little bit about what that means, how you came up with it, and tell us all about it.
Sure. Well, it started way back in the early 2000s with a blog that I was writing. Remember when blogging was really popular?
Yes.
and I called it the Indigo Chronicles because I happen to really like the color indigo. And so then as I started my coaching practice, I thought, what am I going to name it? And then I thought, you know what? Indigo would be a really cool name for a couple of reasons. Indigo kind of speaks to that intuition part, right? It's sort of taps into that spiritual side. But then indigo is a wildflower. And if you look it up by definition, it grows rich, abundant, and wild. And I thought that is a perfect metaphor for what I'm trying to help people do. So then the acronym becomes RAW, like your raw life. And it's fun how it all plays together. So the R stands for rich, but rich means, you know, your relationships, your life being rich, full of color, vibrancy, right? Full of life, abundant. That's where gratitude comes into play, being thankful and appreciative for all of the people and the things and experiences you have in your life. And then wild speaks to who you are at your core. If we were to take away all of the conditions that are placed on us by our families, by our culture, and it's just who we were born to be, that is our wild self. And so then you put it into the acronym RAW and you think about what RAW is. Right? Like take a raw piece of wood. It's like you can transform that into anything that you absolutely want. So the raw version is just like the person that you get to mold, that you get to shape, because we all have a choice in our destiny, right? And so me helping you show up as your rich, abundant, and wild self also is like taking you back to what you were meant to be and building you up from there in the way that you want.
I love that. That's just so cool. And I love how it all kind of came together too with the indigo reference and seeing that. And that's so cool. And I think, you know, what you said is really, really cool and important to emphasize that you can mold yourself and be whatever you want to be, that it's not too late to do that. And I think I hear sometimes, you know, oh, well, this is just the way I am. And this is just, you know, whatever. But like you're saying, like, no, like you can mold and shape yourself to be whatever you want to be. That it's not too late, that you can kind of create that version of yourself that you want to be. Is that true?
Absolutely. We have a choice in the way we show up. We have a choice in the way that we think. We even have a choice in what we manifest in our lives, which is, you know, kind of an incredible topic to get into. And a lot of people think that it's woo-woo, but when we look at studying the mind, we study the brain, we can actually change our minds. We can change the neural pathways, which then open up all of these opportunities for us that weren't there in the first place. So I absolutely believe that you can change your life.
And create the life that you want, depending on, you know, manifestation and kind of some of that. How have you seen manifestation, kind of that changing of the mindset? Because that's essentially what it is. And like you said, it's not like we're sitting in a candle circle and doing like rituals and chants and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But talk to us a little bit about what that manifestation looks like in your eyes and kind of how you've seen that be successful.
Sure. Okay. So the way that our brain is actually wired is we are meant to constantly see negative bias. Now, biologically, that worked way back in days where safety was paramount and we were having to hunt and gather for our food, right? Like finding negative bias kept us safe, kept us alive, and kept us fed. But in our modern times, we don't need that as much, right? We have a modern world, there's a lot of safety and we know food's coming, but our brain has not adapted out of that. And so a lot of times what gets us in trouble is when we're not aware of paying attention to that negative bias, we have a tendency to only see the negative. So manifesting isn't just some woo-woo idea. It's actually being very intentional about that idea and training our brains to do the opposite, to look for positive bias versus negative bias. So there's a filtering system within our brain. It's called the reticular activation system. And you can best understand it when you think about when you buy a new car. All of a sudden, let's say, you know, you buy a new gray Toyota, and all of a sudden you see gray Toyotas driving all over the place, right? And it's not because there's more gray Toyotas out on the road. It's just that you've spent a lot of time and you've spent a lot of money investing in this car. So you have told your brain that this is very important. So it has started to filter that particular car because you said to your brain, this is important, right? So it's almost like mental exercise. You have to do exercise to keep your body fit. You have to do exercise to keep your mind fit. And you do that through finding positive bias. And so you have to, you know, hack your brain a little bit, knowing that you're always seeking out negative bias. Is there several things you can do to use that filtration system to only filter in the positive, to start seeing opportunities to get exactly what you want. So for example, I have, for my own personal goals this year, I have a certain dollar amount I want to make in my business, right? So negative bias, if I sit with my default, then I'm always looking for ways that I'm not making money, right? That's negative bias. It's sort of like, you're not making money. But if I'm very intentional and I use that RAS system to my advantage, what I'm doing is I need to start saying, I'm going to make this X amount of dollars this year. And so what I am doing then is I have told my brain that making that amount of money is very important to me. So it will start bringing into my consciousness ways, opportunities, relationships where I can start making money to match that dollar amount that I've, you know, wanting to go after. But again, it's an intentional practice, right?
So. Yeah. So you got to kind of plant that seed in your brain so that it's there so that mm-hmm. your brain is automatically thinking of stuff without you like prompting it to. Like it's just automatically in there. So it's going to start recognizing these things, you know, without you even thinking too much into it. I think that's so smart and such a great way to kind of reach and work toward those goals and manifest, you know, what you're looking for. Yeah, that's really awesome. This episode of The Real View is brought to you by the Ohio Association of Community Colleges. Ohio's network of community colleges provides accessible training that accommodates the busy lifestyles of aspiring real estate professionals at half the price of a traditional university. With convenient locations in every part of the state, as well as online options, Ohio's community colleges are your smart choice for pre-licensing education. For more details or to start the journey to a real estate career, visit the education page at ohiorealtors.org and then click on the pre-license course locations. And I know that you had some tips for us on how we can live life more raw. Now that we got a little background into what that is and how it shows up in our everyday life. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how we can live life more raw?
So I think the biggest myth when it comes to living your raw life or taking time for yourself is that it has to take a lot of time. And it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. So I want to share 5 tips with your audience because these are things that you can easily incorporate into your everyday life. You can do them in the car on your commute. You can do them while you're standing at your sink in the morning, getting ready for work, in the shower, before you go to bed, with your kids at dinner. And the more that you do them, that same principle works. It's like mental exercise, right? When you engage in these 5 tips, they're very small changes that you can add, but they will make significant change in your overall well-being the more that you practice them. So the first one is, and this one, you know, a lot of people roll their eyes at me when I say it, but there's a lot of science behind it, is to simply breathe. And when I say breathe, what I mean by that is not just, you know, take some deep breaths or pay attention to your breathing. Is I'm talking about the deep diaphragmatic breaths where you breathe in through your nose, like you're blowing up a balloon in your belly, and then you release and exhale all of that breath out of your mouth. The reason why breath is so incredibly important is because we spend a lot of time in fight or flight. And our minds and our bodies mirror each other. So if our body's stress response is fight or flight, then our mind is also going to be chaotic. And it's hard to be calm in the mind when your body's out of control. The bridge between the two is breath. In fact, crisis counselors use this all the time. 10 deep diaphragmatic breaths will reset the nervous system from that fight or flight or even freeze into rest and digest. So we have to kind of retrain ourselves to breathe, because that's something else, you know, that rolls into actually tip number 2, which is don't check your phone for at least 30 minutes upon waking. So if you use it for your alarm, people, go out, go on Amazon, buy a battery powered alarm that is not your phone. Here's why. There's a researcher by the name of Linda Stone, and she researches the effects of technology on the body. And what she discovered is when we are looking at screens, we stop breathing. Mm. We unconsciously hold our breath, shallow breath. We stop breathing. It does not even matter the content. You could be looking at something positive. You could be looking at something negative. So if you get on and check your email, if you're looking at pictures of loved ones, you're scrolling on social media, it does not matter. Physiologically, we stop breathing. When we stop breathing, we immediately put our body into fight or flight. So it's cueing the brain like, hey, we're in trouble. There's danger. We need to fight or flight because it conserves energy. Breathing takes a lot of energy, right? So not only do we need to practice the breath, but every time we look at a screen, we're training our body to just naturally go into fight or flight, right? Yeah. So taking the first 30 minutes of your day not looking at a screen will kind of jumpstart your day in a way that is much more positive, right? You can focus on different things. You can spend some time doing some of those deep breathing so you're not already starting the day in fight or flight, in that stress response. So that's number 2. Number 3 is going back to kind of hacking into that RAS system in our brain, that super cool filtration system, is name 5 things you want every single day. And you can do it again, standing there brushing your teeth. What are 5 things that you want? Doesn't matter if they're impossible or not. What you're doing is, again, you're telling your brain that those 5 things are important to you. And so it will start to show you opportunities and ways that it can bring, you can accomplish or gain those 5 things that you absolutely want. And then number 4 comes from a spiritual teacher called Abraham Hicks, and it's called the 17-second rule. And it's basically the idea that for 17 seconds, if you can step into a feeling of joy. So the best way to do that is think about your very best day, or think about that person that you were just so in love with, a family member, a friend, your partner. And for 17 seconds, feel that joy in your body. And what that does is it goes back to the law of attraction, right? Whatever energy you put off is the energy that you're attracting. So if you are taking some time, and 17 seconds is not very much time. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy to me, but that's in all of her research and her findings. 17 seconds is this magic number that if you hit that and you can stay in that state for that long, then you start to attract positive energy into your life. And energy is contagious, right? So if you're putting off positive energy, that's what people are going to respond to you. So imagine, you know, all the realtors in your world, right? You're trying to engage in relationships. You have buyers, you have sellers. You want to put off positive vibes. So this is a great way to start your day. It's just set a timer, 17 seconds at least, and sit in that feeling of joy.
Daydream, right? We're okay to daydream.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that.
And again, by doing that, it's signaling to your body that you're okay.
Yes. Relax.
I mean, then it kind of goes back to one and two. Relax, right? Get out of fight or flight. You're okay. Everything's going to be fine. And then the last tip, number five, is practice gratitude. Practicing gratitude, because again, since we're hardwired for negative bias, we have a tendency to overlook all of the good. And even if we're facing a challenge, there's always something we can learn from it. There's always something we can take away. And so every day, finding five things we're grateful for will rewire those neurological pathways in our brain that are negative and shift them to positive so that we start seeing more positive things. And you simply do it through the practice of gratitude. So saying, I'm grateful for, you know, a particular person, for a particular sale that went through, a particular goal you met that day, or even just having an interaction with somebody that you love and acknowledging that you appreciate and value who they are in your life. So overall, those five tips, easy things you can incorporate. They don't take a lot of time, but will immediately transform your life.
Yeah. And when you think about gratitude too, it kind of goes back to that 17 seconds, finding that joy, because if you think of things that you're thankful for, that those are positive, you know, things. Does that probably triggers that same part in your brain when you're thinking about those happy moments of joy or finding those 17 seconds? That's, I see those two kind of working together too. So that's another way that you can add more joy and trigger your brain to have those happy feelings and happy thoughts and relax out your body. And this is just making me want to take a deep breath too. Now I'm like, oh man, I need to get off my phone and start breathing. Like I have to stop breathing when I'm on my phone.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. In fact, I have all of my clients that come to me for coaching sessions. I immediately have them do something, do an exercise called climb back into your body, which is basically where I have you set a timer five different times throughout the day, put an alarm on your phone. And every time that alarm goes off, you stop and take five of those deep breaths, no matter what you're doing. If you're in a meeting, if you're in a car, wherever you are, just stop and take those five breaths. Cause then it's again, like training that body to breathe the proper way and come back to rest
and resets your whole system to get out of that. We have to fight something off mode. Yeah. And I know another thing that you're super passionate about and that you find a lot of value in is the importance of nature and in being outdoors and kind of what that does to the body, to the healing process, to getting us in a good place mentally, physically, emotionally. Talk to us a little bit about nature and kind of just the power that, you know, you see that it can provide to us in our healing process and in our journey.
It first starts from personal experience. So I grew up in rural Nebraska on a farm, you know, very small town. And I spent the majority of my time outside. And anytime I had a bad day, you know, got in a fight with a school friend, something didn't go my way, the first thing I would do is go outside. And I always felt better, always. And of course, I didn't understand it as a kid. I just thought that was my happy place, right? But then as I grew into coaching and started doing more research, I really started to understand the impact that nature has on our minds. And the reason being is because obviously we are natural. As human beings, we are animals. We are meant to be in the natural kingdom, but we spend 98% of our time indoors. But the sun cycle, the weather cycle, nature itself regulates every system in our body, every single system, digestive system, our circadian rhythms, all of it. And so if we are taking ourselves out of nature, we're basically scrambling and discombobulating all of our natural cycles. And again, because the mind and the body match each other, if our body's kind of out of sync, our mind is also going to be out of sync. So when I made this correlation, I thought, you know what, in order to unscramble, we need to get back outside. And how important that is, because spending some time out in nature will help you then recalibrate all of our natural systems to get your body back in sync. And when your body's back in sync, your mind will just naturally flow with it. So anytime you can get outdoors to just walk around the block, even morning sunlight is probably the best time to be outdoors, because that sun comes in through the pineal gland through our eyes, and that also resets our nervous system. So, but another piece to this, we're going to add an extra layer, is technology is fantastic. Obviously, it's how we can speak to each other today, and we get to broadcast this out to all of your listeners. But at the same time, all of this technology is putting off something called electromagnetic waves. And those waves, EMFs, will mess with our prefrontal cortex, which is kind of the thinking, rational part of our brains. So if you find that you are showing up and kind of you can't think clearly, you have a lot of brain fog, if maybe all of a sudden you're being emotionally reactive, go outside, get away from the technology. So then it's kind of double duty, right? It's like the nature sort of resetting your systems naturally, but at the same time, it's allowing your brain to rest from all of that EMF scrambling that's happening all the time.
Yeah, no, that's great. I love that. And I can't wait to wake up tomorrow and look into the sun. I hope the sun's going to be out and get some of that on your face. And I wonder if that's part of the reason why you always feel so much better waking up in the mornings when the sun's out. It's like, okay, today's going to be a great day because I'm seeing that sun. It's making me happy. It's doing what it needs to do to my brain. So we kind of talked a little bit about, you know, ways to be our best selves, ways to kind of reset, get our body and our systems back in order and working how they're supposed to. So we kind of talked a little bit about methods and ways to do that. Why, in your opinion, is it so important to take this time to do the work on ourselves, to give this attention to our development, to give attention to resetting all of this? Why is it so important in your perspective?
Because energy is contagious.
Yeah.
And I know I've said that already, but energy is so contagious. We can fake a smile all day long. We can show up and be pleasant. But if we're not right on the inside, everybody is going to feel that. And the best way to kind of understand what I'm talking about is think about a wedding and a funeral and the energetic differences in the two, right? You go into a wedding and there's just, without even anybody saying anything, you just feel this joy. And then you go into the funeral and the same thing, you feel a heaviness and you feel a grief. You are putting off whatever is going on the inside, whether your words match that or not. So just law of physics, we are made up of energy. We have a certain vibration. And so if we're not working on ourselves and we're sitting in muck all the time and we're sitting in this place of fight or flight, the stress response all of the time, what we're putting off are very negative energy vibes.
And people are going to feel that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, how many times have maybe you come across somebody and you're like, oh, that person is fake. And you ask yourself, well, why are they fake? Well, because the energy that you're feeling that your body's probably picking up doesn't match their words. And because they're not genuine in how they really are. Everybody can feel that. And then if we talk about how that affects the collective, the rest of the group, you know, what's the impact that you want to leave on the world? Is it that, or is it something better? Do you want to better the world? So to me, it is so important to get right internally, know what's in your way, resolve those issues, resolve that chaos so that collectively you can go out and share that love, that kindness, that joy, whatever it is that you want to spread.
Yeah, I love that. And who wants to live in that state that you mentioned? Who wants to live in that fight or flight mode? Who wants to live with your brain scrambled and not being able to focus and concentrate on anything? I mean, I know I don't. So, and I love that you mentioned too, this is just as important as the exercise we do on our bodies, as, you know, going to the doctor. I mean, this should be right up there, you know, with any sort of personal wellness that we all do. Having this is critical to becoming a better person and better individuals. But anything else, Abby, any last bits of advice or anything, any parting words of wisdom that you want to give to us today before we wrap up?
Other than just, you know, mental health, most definitely needs to be a priority for that very reason. I mean, it affects how we show up, how we interact with others, how we handle stress, the kinds of decisions that we want to make. So really spending some time, especially just doing these five tips that I shared earlier, spending some time on those is going to change you internally enough that it will start affecting your relationships, both at home and at the workplace. I mean, your business, your profession is all about building relationships. And the best way to do that is to kind of get right with yourself. And I think the biggest takeaway that I want people to know is this work is not selfish. It is not selfish. When you take time to really invest in your internal landscape, you are giving a gift to everybody else in your life. And the thing is it doesn't take a lot of time, you know, just myth buster right there. Spend, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes on your mental landscape every single day, and it will completely change your world. So, and it, to me, that's why wouldn't you want to do that for everybody you love?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not selfish at all. In fact, you almost think you owe it to yourself. You know what I mean? Like doing this brings the best version of yourself forward. It enhances, you know, your relationships with others. It enhances your business. It really, I mean, there's endless benefits and really no cons. So I don't see how, you know, you wouldn't want to make this a part of your daily habits. And as you mentioned, I mean, these things don't take a lot of time. We're talking 17 seconds to think of yourself on vacation or that happy moment in your life. It's not too much. It's not going to drastically change, you know, the time you're spending on things during the day, but it will have a drastic change on your mental state and the way you are presenting yourself to the world. So I think it's great all around. And Abby, I love your approach, and I love everything that you shared with us today. So thank you so much for coming on and for sharing this wonderful world of personal healing and growth with us. And I really appreciated your time today.
Thank you for having me.
And to all of our listeners, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back with you next week. Thank you for listening to The Real View. That wraps up today's episode. You can keep up with the latest on the podcast at ohiorealtors.org/TheRealView and on Apple or Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Have questions, comments, or suggestions? We want to hear from you. Email us at podcast@ohiorealtors.org. We'll see you next time.